Thank you for listening to the Shanghai Community Fellowship Podcast. To find out more about the SCF community, listen to sermons, and upcoming events, visit us at shanghaifellowship.org.
Our sermon today is called Get Up and Go. It's called Get Up and Go. And I know, as Bethany was saying, a lot of people around this time think about calling. Where am I going next? What does God have for me next in this time in my life? And I was thinking about that. And now I've heard from a lot of people about calling. The sermon is called Get Up and Go. Now I've heard from a lot of people over many years ask me about calling. They've asked me about calling. Now, I don't know why me specifically. I'm going to get into our story a little bit and also where we're going. We're going to be actually moving to Vienna in Austria. We're going to go to the United States for 1 year. Forgot to mention that. We'll go to the States for 1 year, to Atlanta, and we're going to be in Vienna. So if you find yourself in Vienna 1 year from now, look us up. We will be there, and we'll work with an international church very similar with this called Vienna Christian Center. We're really looking forward to that. But again, with the calling thing, people have talked to me a lot over the years. They've asked me, you know, what is it about calling? What is your calling? How did you know you were called? How did you come to China? How did you know the calling? I can hear it in their voice. They're searching for it. Now, I don't know why maybe I get that more. It could be where I'm from. I am from pretty much nowhere. So Pastor Dale's from Ohio. Okay. Josh Shung, our worship director, he's from Chicago. You guys have heard of that. I'm from the less famous neighbor of those two called Indiana. Is there anybody from Indiana? There's probably not. See, I told you, no one here is from. Yeah. You spend some time. Okay. The two of us have left Indiana. And I'm not from a town. I'm just from corn and some woods, and that's all I'm from. And when people kind of hear that, and they're like, okay, well, what kind of brought you to this part, to Shanghai, the largest city in the world? And they asked me about calling. So we're going to talk now for a few moments about calling, about our call, about how to answer that call. So I think actually oftentimes we've confused a cultural calling and what that means in the culture with the Christian calling. Cultural calling is more romantic. It's about escape, about going somewhere else for a change of scenery, or always looking for that next step. Have you ever met somebody who's just constantly looking for that next step, or how to leave a difficult situation that you're in? And oftentimes when people say, what's my calling, what's my calling? I think what they're really saying is, I just want to do something else. And they're looking forward to something else. The Christian calling, though, listen, the Christian calling in the Christian context is much, much more about being in the present, about being right now, about answering the call like the prophet Isaiah did, Lord, here I am, send me. It's about saying yes to God no matter what. It's about focusing on the primary things that God has for you. And when you focus on the primary, then you will find the purpose. And you find the purpose, and you're going to find the passion. And when you're passionate for God's purposes, have you ever met somebody who's just passionate about something? You ever met someone who's so passionate? When you're passionate for the purpose of God, nothing can hold you back. And if you've lost the passion and you can't find that purpose, you need to go back to the primary thing, which is the promise of God, that he has called you and that he is faithful. And you can believe that God will keep his promise. In 1 Thessalonians 5:4 says this, Paul writes, he who calls you is faithful and he will do it. I love that. He who calls you is faithful and he will do it. Do you see that? He calls you. Not just other people. Not just me, not just somebody that you hear speak on TV or at church. He calls you. He calls every single person. Now, in the context that Paul is writing here, it's about being made holy. That means being close to God and set apart. That is the primary. That is where your calling begins. And if today, if you're searching for your calling, if you're searching for that, know that the beginning is always obedience. Before you look at the when and the what and the where and the why and all this, before you find that, the beginning is always obedience. And if you're obedient to the plans of God, He'll be faithful. And that plan will not fail. He will do it. God will make that happen. He has called you. When I received my call to China, I was in college, and I usually say this actually when I preach, but I think it's important. I had gone to a Christian college. Right before then, I was in high school. I didn't grow up in church. I never went to church. Somebody just invited me. So I'm a really good example that you can just invite somebody to church and they will come. I was not the kind of kid that would have gone to church. I was very anti-Christian. I was against all of this stuff, right? He just invited me. Kind of person that you wanted to invite, or that some people maybe would want to bring along to church, but somebody just invited me. Just invite somebody to church. They're more likely to come if you invite them. Somebody invited me. After that, I went to a Christian college down in Florida. And I've been at that school for about 2 years. That song we sang, You're Everything, that we sang during as the offertory, it was about that time, actually, about 2000, 2001. And it kind of brought me back. And so I'm going to school there. I've been there for 2 years. And I had not necessarily read anything extra about China. I hadn't watched a whole bunch of, you know, videos or TV about China. I didn't really particularly know many Chinese people. Now, I was sitting in a chapel service. We had to go to these chapel services 3 days a week. And you sit in the chapel service, and you kind of, some are really good, and you make it through. I was sitting in the chapel service, and if you're new to Christianity, if this is your first time to church, experience sound weird. As I say this, how God spoke to me, this is just my experience. I could feel a pressure on my shoulders. I could just feel God like pushing me down. And I was in my chair. I couldn't get up during the worship. And then there was the greet times and all this similar to church. And I just couldn't get up. And God was telling me, you can't get up until you say yes to China. You can't get up until you say yes to China. And I didn't know why. Like I'd never taken any trips. I didn't have any special yearning to see the Great Wall. You know what I mean? Like none of that. But he said, you got to go to China. I said, but I argued with God for a good half hour. I argued with God. I said, God, but I've got my own plans. I want to get married. I want to have kids and get a job. And I want to have that family life. But if I go, it's going to mess with my plans. I've got my plans. So I remember arguing with God during that time. But finally, at the end, I got up and I said, okay, God, I'll go. I'll go to China. And I did not know then, you know, I'm just a sophomore in college. I didn't know what that would look like. What would answering that call look like? I didn't know if that would be for a year or until I was 28 or until I was 38 as I am now or until I was 65 or whatever it would be. I had no idea. I just know he told me to go and I said yes. So when my wife and I, fast forward, wife and I got married after college. We worked at a church near Orlando for a little while after that. When we came to Xi'an, actually, so Omega, where you're going, when we went to Xi'an, we left everything. Now, I say that, I have it written here, I left everything, but it wasn't much. We didn't have that much, but we had two cars and a dog, and yeah, and that's what we had. We didn't have a house. We had almost signed the contract for a house, but we decided to forego that. I'm glad that we did. And so we left the things that we did own, we left those and we went to Xi'an. When we went, we signed a one-year contract. And we thought that's what it was going to be. My wife also had a call to go overseas when she was young. So we thought, you know what, this is going to be answering that call. We signed a one-year contract, right, to teach. And we thought, well, that would be it. That 1 year was up. We signed on for another two. Then we went back after that and did another term, as they say there. And then we came here and we're here in Shanghai and just kind of gone that way. But we always said that we would be here in mainland China until the doors closed or other doors opened, because we always held the call with an open hand. I learned that from one of my mentors from years ago. You hold that call with an open hand to that place because it's always about people. It's not really about the place. It's about the people in that place. I love this city. You guys love this city? I love this city. I love the former French Concession, the Bund, everything about this city, I love it. But the city and the buildings are beautiful, but they are not eternal. They are going to fall down, they're going to burn or flood or whatever it is. The people, it's the people. It's not the city, it's the people in the city. The people need Jesus. It's always about the people. The people are eternal. And when we went to Vienna just a couple of weeks ago, guess who we met? Guess who we met in Vienna, Austria? A bunch of Chinese people. At the church, and on the streets, at restaurants, walking around, at the zoo, everywhere. And on top of that in Vienna, you won't find this online, but only about 1% of the people of that great city really know Jesus, 1%. So the doors have opened, and we're going to step through them. What is the primary? It is being obedient. And then you'll find a purpose, and then you'll find a passion. But it still might not answer, okay, well, what do I do now? It's great hearing your story, Zach. What do I do now? And I think God has an answer, but it might not be what you're looking for. You might want specifics, a time and a date and a place and a loud voice speaking to you and a pressure on your shoulders like I described mine. Here's an answer. You may be waiting on God, yet in reality, God is waiting on you. Here's the answer for today. Get up and go. Get up and go. That is what God is saying. And there's two examples today of men in the Bible we're going to get through who responded to God when the door opened. They both were in very, very discouraging times. The first thing we need to look at is what can weigh us down. What can weigh us down preventing us from answering that call? We're going to look in Acts chapter 12. Now, to put this into context, this part of the book of Acts, King Herod, you remember him, really bad king, had just killed James, the brother of John, the apostle. He saw that people liked that, so then he went after Peter. This is the same Peter, you remember, that would jump out of a boat to follow Jesus. He had Peter arrested, put into prison, and that's where we pick up in Acts chapter 12, 6 through 10. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared, and light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. "Quick, get up," he said, and the chains fell off Peter's wrists. Then the angel said to him, "Put on your clothes and sandals," and Peter did so. "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me," the angel told him. Peter followed him out of the prison, but he had no idea that what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. They passed the first and the second guards and came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself, and they went through it. Did you catch the part there that Peter had two chains and two guards around him? He had two chains around his wrists and two guards watching over him. You may have chains on your life right now that the enemy has placed on you that are holding you back from getting up and going and answering that calling. The enemy will chain us with fear and with doubt. Fear, you might have fear of the unknown. We often fear the unknown. What's going to happen to me? How will I make money? Fear that you will fail. Fear that you're going to miss the mark. Fear that you're going to make the wrong choice. But the Bible says that God does not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And if you have fear right now, know that that is the enemy, that is not from God, and it can be a chain on your life preventing you from answering your calling. And you may have doubt. You might have doubt that you're good enough, doubt that you have the skills, doubt that you have the confidence, doubt that you can make it through, and that doubt doesn't even have to come from the enemy. That can come right from people. Now, I'm convinced that God can speak directly to us. As I've said, I've got my own story of that, but I don't think that the enemy necessarily needs to speak damaging words to us because we are so sinful and capable of so much hate that we can actually just do that to ourselves and we can do that to other people. But the enemy, the devil, will use those damaging words. My wife, Carrie, has been doing a Bible school, not a Bible school, Bible time, Bible story time at the school where our kids have been going to school these last 3 years. And she does this Bible time, and it's optional, right? So the kids can either go to recess and play outside, or they can come in and do the Bible story. And at first he thought, man, are they even going to come? Because the other option is recess and to go outside. But she has a lot of kids come. She makes it fun, sings songs, does some stories. So all this year, Carrie, my wife, has had this little boy come in. He's come in every time. And so the kids come in and she says hi. And the boy comes in and looks right at her and says, I don't like you. And points at her. He says, I don't like you. And then he goes and sits down. And remember, it's optional, right? Like, he doesn't have to be there, but he comes every time. He just comes. So Carrie is at a point in her life where that just doesn't bother her. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like she's not offended. She just doesn't understand why. And she's tried to talk to him more about it and kind of trying to figure that out. And it's even kind of funny. And she told me. But that can be switched. Adults can say or act that way towards children, and they will feel, why don't you like me? And they don't understand why the adult is saying or acting like that towards them. And there may have been people in your life that spoke doubt into you from an early age, sometimes when you were a child. But know that God in heaven, your Father, does not doubt you. Today we're talking about fathers, right? About Father's Day. We're celebrating dads. You have a dad in heaven. He not only likes you, he created you, he loves you dearly. He does not doubt you. He sees in you such a purpose. He sees a plan in your life. He sees you in such a way that you cannot even grasp the enormity of his purpose and his love for you. And he's calling you to greater things. He's calling you to find a passion that you did not even know that you had, but you have to get up. You have to get up. You have to cast off those chains. Peter is sitting in prison with chains, with guards, a locked iron gate in front of him. And the angel comes and says, get up quickly. The chains fall off. The guards look the other way and the gate is opened. When you respond to the call of God, and he may be saying to you the same as the angel, get up quickly. When you respond, those chains of fear, those chains of doubt are going to come off. The doors that you thought would be closed for forever are going to swing wide open. The angel also hit Peter right on the side. Did you see that? He didn't just yell at him. He hit him on the side to wake him up. We might be asleep today. You might be asleep in our chains, sleeping right through life with chains and locked doors that don't have to be locked. This today might be kind of a wake-up call or a punch right on the side. Says the angel hit Peter on the side. Maybe we need to be hit. Maybe we need that gut punch to say, hey, it's time to get up. Get up quickly and go. So you wanna ask God, okay, I got up. I'm responding to that. Now, what do I do? Get up and what? And as we said, it's go. The second part of our sermon today is called go. You go. I said earlier, you might be waiting on God for a sign, for some kind of sign. Lord, would you send me a sign? I'm looking for a sign. I'm just going to sit back and wait till you show me something. More than likely, God is actually waiting on you. Listen, he's speaking to you. I promise you that. He is speaking to you, but he speaks differently to us at different stages in our lives. So how do we listen for the go? See, for me, God did speak to me when I was 20. God spoke to me when I was 20, loud and clear. I was also, as I mentioned, a new Christian. I've been a Christian for about 18 months, 2 years, about that. I was a young Christian. I was new to everything. Now, I've been following Jesus now for 20 years. I've been following Jesus for 20 years. He is going to speak to me differently now that I'm at this point in my journey, right? Than he did when I was only following him for 2 years. Now I should be able to listen. I should be able to listen to that small whisper. I should be able to listen to his voice to where he doesn't have to yell at me. He doesn't have to grab me and sit me down. He can just whisper to me. I need to be able to listen and to hear his voice. He speaks to us differently at different stages in our lives. So you look at the opportunity, you listen, see if it's a God thing, and go. Get up and go. We're going to look now quickly here at the story of Jonathan. We saw the story of Peter. The angel hit him, said, quickly get up. We need to look at the story of Jonathan. He was the son of King Saul. Now remember, this is right before David. If you've heard of David, this is right before David. Before we read some quick context, just as Peter was in a difficult situation, so was Jonathan, and so were the Israelites. The Philistines had control at this point over everything in Israel and had taken all of the swords and all of the spears and all of the blacksmiths that could make anything into a sword or a spear. Saul had a sword, and his son Jonathan, the prince, had a sword. There were two swords for all of Israel. For all of the army, they had those two swords. Saul had then his army of swordless men on one side, and the Philistines were up on the other, on a high mountain overlooking a valley. Saul is not making a move. He's taking a nap under a tree, but his son Jonathan sees the opportunity, and this is where we pick up in 1 Samuel 14. Jonathan said to his young armor bearer, "Come, let's go over to the outpost of those uncircumcised men. Perhaps the Lord will act on our behalf. Nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few." "Do all that you have in mind," his armor bearer said. "Go ahead, I am with you heart and soul." And Jonathan said, "Come on then, we will cross over toward them and let them see us. If they say to us, 'Wait there until we come to you,' we will stay where we are and not go up to them. But if they say, 'Come up to us,' we will climb up, because that will be our sign that the Lord has given them into our hands." So both of them showed themselves to the Philistine outpost. "Look," said the Philistines, "the Hebrews are crawling out of the holes they were hiding in." The men of the outpost shouted to Jonathan and his armor bearer, "Come up to us and we'll teach you a lesson." So Jonathan said to his armor bearer, "Climbed up, come up after me. The Lord has given them into the hand of Israel." Jonathan climbed up using his hands and feet with his armor bearer right behind him. The Philistines fell before Jonathan, and his armor bearer followed and killed behind him. In that first attack, Jonathan and his armor bearer killed some 20 men in an area of about half an acre. Then panic struck the whole army, those in the camp and the field, and those in the outposts and raiding parties, and the ground shook. Do you love that line from Jonathan? He says, "Come on, perhaps the Lord will act on our behalf. Perhaps." And then he gave himself two chances. He said, either the Philistines will say one thing, or they would say another thing. That's it. And if they said, "Come up to us," then that was it. It was time to go. But you see, Jonathan, look at this. He took the first step. He took that first step. He saw that his dad wasn't doing anything. The king was doing nothing. He had no plans. Jonathan saw the opportunity. He took that while other people were taking a nap. He went up to where the guards could see him. That's even a dangerous step at that. And sometimes we're like Saul. We can be afraid to take that first step. We want to stay in the safety and the comfort of just what we know. And we have a hard time even getting to that place where we can make a decision because we freeze up. We freeze up with fear and with doubt. And sometimes that first step is just getting out of what is comfortable. You might not want to hear that. Sometimes the first step is getting out of what is comfortable and getting out of what we know so then we can see what opportunities God has put before us. And he's giving you those. If we don't his plan out of the comfort, then we can see those possibilities of his plan and of his purpose. Comfort and taking it easy can absolutely zap our passion. It can zap that passion right away from whatever it is we're doing because we can't see the purpose. God is saying, get up and go. Jonathan saw what was before him. He saw the opportunity even when others could not. And then between the two of them, we're assuming here they had one sword against at least 20 men. Not great odds, 2 to 20. It didn't look like a great opportunity. He didn't look at that and say, yeah, I think we can do that. It was 2 on 20 at least. It did not look like a comfortable calling, but our calling is not always comfortable. At the beginning of the sermon, we talked about the difference between a cultural understanding of calling and a Christian understanding of calling. In the Christian understanding of calling, listen, comfort is not the goal, and it is never the goal. Being made into the image of Christ, being made into the image of Christ, that is the goal. And you do that first, always, through obedience to God's plan. Jonathan was obedient. So after he goes up and he climbs the mountain, I love how the Bible says he used his hands and feet. Normally when you climb a mountain, you use your hands and your feet. So why is it drawing attention to that? I think it's to show us that Jonathan, he didn't go up with a sword in his hand. You know, it's not straight up. He's not using ropes. He's just climbing up the side. He didn't go up with a sword in his hand with a shield in one hand. He went up fully confident and on the attack, confident that he knew that God was going to act on his behalf. He was confident. And there on the top, 20 men fell before him and his armor bearer. And the Bible says that the ground shook. The ground shook after that. The story goes on that the men in the napping king's army, they felt this shaking and they joined in with Jonathan. And then the Israelites who'd been hiding in caves, they crawled out of their caves. They came out of the caves because they felt this shaking and they joined in with Jonathan. The other Hebrews who were helping as mercenaries in the Philistine army, they dropped what they had. They joined in because they felt the ground shaking and they joined in with Jonathan. And the Bible says that on that day, Israel was delivered. When you take that step, and you're obedient to God and his call on your life to go, you will cause the ground to shake and people will follow you. They will see the passion. They will see after that purpose. They will feel the ground shake and they will follow after you. Back to the text of 1 Thessalonians 5:4 as we finish up. He who calls you is faithful. He who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Know that you are called. You are called. Know that. He's not skipping you. He's calling you. Know that you're called. God calls each and every one of us. Respond to that call knowing that he's faithful, and he will keep his promise. And if you're searching today, if you're looking for that next step, don't look only to what you know, to where the comfort is. Don't look to where your doubt and your fear steer you. One of my first cars, it was not a great car. The steering wheel was broken, kind of. And I had to pull over to the other side so I wouldn't end up, it would pull me over to one side. And I had to constantly steer the other way. I had to pull over to the other side so I wouldn't end up in a ditch. And if you constantly are going the way that your doubt and fear are steering you, you can end up in a ditch. You have to steer the other way. You have to know that doubt and fear, listen, they've got no place in your life. They have no place in the plans and purposes of God in your life. Our God is bigger than any doubt you can have. Our God is bigger than any fear you could possibly know. As we saw with Peter, when you respond to God, those chains will fall and the doors are going to open, amen? Look at the opportunity, look at it like Jonathan, see what others don't have the courage to see and go. If you still need just an example, when we recently took our family to Vienna to see if that was where God would have our family next, one of the first people that said, you know, tell her she was Chinese and she went up to her. This is right outside of the church. And she went up to her and said, you know, hey, where are you from? She saw her talking in English. And the Chinese lady said, I'm from a small town. You wouldn't know it. And Carrie said, try me. She said, Zhejiang, which if you don't know, is kind of close to here. And she said, oh, Zhejiang. Yeah, I know Zhejiang. I live in Shanghai. And they got to talk a little bit and had a great conversation. We go into the church there in Vienna, and one of the first ladies we met at an altar time was Chinese, and we were talking to her a little bit, and Carrie got to speak to her with our limited Chinese, and we had a great conversation with her. Then we go down later that day, and we go to a little ice cream shop. We met a young Viennese man. I'm going to have to go back and track him down. We had a little conversation with him, and he asked, his English was great, as people there speak a lot of English. And so he asked me, he said, what do you do, and why are you here? And I said, well, I'm a pastor, and I might be helping with the church that's down the street. And he said, oh, what is that, and what does that mean? And I said, so I said it more clear. I said, pastor and church, and kind of explained. He said, no, I speak English. And I said, okay. He said, no, like, I don't know. He said, I didn't grow up in church. I don't know anyone in church. Can you tell me what that is and what you do and what that means? So I said, yeah, I can do that. He reminded me of me when I was young, completely, absolutely unchurched, and almost all the people in that city are. So to us, it was a lot of that. It was a lot of meetings like that over days. Now, we could say all you want all day, God, can you give me a sign? Can you speak to me, Lord? Can you give me something? Can you show me a way? Can you speak to me directly? But God, listen, He's speaking to you now. He's speaking to you now. You just have to listen. You have to open up your ears, open up your eyes to see. You know, whenever you get a new car or you're looking for a car, all of a sudden you see around you all the same car. You're like, oh my goodness, all of a sudden everybody has this Toyota or whatever it is. You've got to look, just know, just think about it. And you can, God is speaking to you. He is showing you. We just have to pay attention. We just have to listen. God is inviting you. He is giving you an invitation. And He has always been giving you an invitation to take part in His story. Right here between Jude and Revelation, that is the story of God right now. After that was written and right before Jesus is coming, this is the story of God right now. He is inviting you in to take part in that. But you just have to say, yes, God, I will get up and I will go. Look at that opportunity. Look at what it is. Listen to God and respond. If you're here today and you need to take that very first step, like I did so many years ago, of following Jesus, all the stuff that I've been talking about, you know, it's great, especially if somebody's been following Jesus for maybe a long time. But if you're not following Jesus, I encourage you today to take that first step. Now, I think there's somebody here who needs to take that on your journey with Christ, and I can promise you that your life will absolutely never be the same after that. And you will absolutely love it. You will never regret following Jesus. I would never regret it. I've loved it every single minute of it. No matter where He takes me, what He does with my family, I love following Jesus. I encourage you to do the same.